spiritual shot of B12 or B12 spiritual type shot. You know what I'm trying to say. Man, it's so great to have Pastor David Langford from thevoiceofevangelism.com and Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com. Of course, they were recently on with Jim Baker on the Jim Baker Show. What a blessing they bestowed upon the people there in attendance. And of course, all of the viewers there. You can catch that on YouTube, their appearance. And of course, we're so fortunate to have them, each and every one of us. I just want to say thank you publicly to both Steve Quayle and Pastor Langford. Before we get back to them, I just want to ask, are you tired of the headlines? I mean, are the headlines getting you down? Of course, we find our solace and inspiration, and well, we find that in the Word of God. But you know, in the physical realm here, if you want to leave the chaos behind, let me tell you about an amazing website, an amazing getaway that we found for an even more amazing price. That's the Pineapple Beach Club in Antigua. Right now, for just $99 per person per night, you can enjoy an adults only, that's 16 and above, all-inclusive holiday getaway on a white sandy beach. Go to pineapplebeachclub.com or call 800-772-8711 to make your reservations today. That's pineapplebeachclub.com. There, you're gonna, let me just tell you a little bit more about this, because it's great. You've got all-inclusive for your $99. It's all-inclusive. You've got meals, snacks, beverages, yes, even the alcohol, glass of wine with dinner. Resort activities and all taxes and service charges are included in that fee. They've got 5 restaurants on site, the Tranquility Spa, 2 freshwater pools, windsurfing, snorkeling, kayaking. Yeah, so much more to do there. Planning a destination wedding? We'll do what my stepson did, and that's arrange it through pineapplebeachclub.com. They can do that too. I mean, you can do it too. The resort encompasses 30 acres of just beautiful tropical foliage and wild blooms. Can you smell the flowers? And we do need to take time to smell the flowers, don't we? Antigua itself is located in the Caribbean, and it's the largest speaking leeward island in the area. It's known for its just beautiful weather and pristine white sand beaches and colorful cultural festivals. When you're ready to leave the chaos behind this year, get some well-deserved R&R. Don't wait. This offer expires soon. Go to pineapplebeachclub.com or call 800-772-8711 to book your all-inclusive holiday for less than $100 per night per person. That's ages 16 and up. You can enjoy everything I just mentioned and more. That's pineapplebeachclub.com. You don't want to miss this offer. See the website for complete details, pineapplebeachclub.com. And speaking of white sandy beaches and just a relaxing time, relax with us here as we listen to Pastor David Langford and Steve Quayle talk about, yes, some disconcerting events taking place, the insights of the prophets, biblical prophets. However, there is hope, and there's hope through the Word of God. So I'm going to turn it right up back over to Steve to bring in this hour. Steve, go ahead, sir, and take us where you want to go.
Thank you. Well, I'm going to go with a little bit more detail on hardening of Pharaoh's heart, because God himself is setting a delineation between the sheep and the goats. God himself is taking the mask off. He's taking all of the pretense out of the politician's magic tricks. In other words, he's stripping the United States before the entire world to see that it is no longer what we once were, but he's allowing the people to see beyond. Doug, I was on a show with you, David, you and I did a show maybe a couple years ago, where I said that the United States would become a hissing in the nostrils of the nations around us. Basically, Iran said to the United States just last week, we don't care, I'll paraphrase, we can kick your butt anytime we want. You see, the problem with a nation that loses its focus place, but more importantly, abandons God and says we can go it alone, it's suicide. And I believe that's the devil's end game. Let me make that clear. Where you see the military being destroyed, and believe me, I hear of enough of the military, I see enough of their failures, the Navy ships, multi-billions don't work, aircraft crashing, the new Chinese fighter by our ace pilot saying it's 4 times better than anything we got right now. Vladimir Putin sending signals that they can take out our command, control, and communication by shutting down the Donald S. Cook, sneaking up on aircraft to getting within, at some points, 4 feet of their wingtips, and they didn't see him coming. I think what we have to remember is that the scripture gives us such a clear picture of how people, both redeemed, should act and will act, and how the evil ones will act. So the word harden Pharaoh's heart is used 16 times in the Old Testament, 15 times in the Old Testament, one time in the New Testament. And I'm just going to read this and comment, because I want to give you the, you can go look it up, Exodus 7:13, and he, God, where it says in he, it's always the Lord, and he hardened Pharaoh's heart that he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Remember, Moses and Aaron are sent into Pharaoh's court to demand that Pharaoh let his people go, and guess what? Pharaoh wouldn't have anything to do with it. Exodus 7:14, and the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened, he refuses to let the people go. Exodus 7:22, and the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither they hearken unto them, as the Lord had said, in the issue of the staffs turning into snakes. And even though Aaron's staff that rotted, Aaron's staff that budded, ate up the Egyptian snakes, still it hardened Pharaoh's heart. Supernatural stuff wouldn't get Pharaoh's attention. And by the way, I want to make it clear, that used to bother me, why God hardened his heart. Let me share this. God gave Pharaoh over to the lie that Egyptian pharaohs believed they were gods. So God allowed his deception to be the vehicle. It's basically, you say God gave him over to himself. That's what Paul talks about. God gave him over in the book of Romans. Exodus 8:15, but when Pharaoh saw that there was a respite, in other words, that things died off for a minute, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Exodus 8:19, then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. And it goes on in 8:32, and Pharaoh hardened his heart. 8:9-7, Exodus, and Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead, and the heart of the Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. In other words, they who think they are God will not allow themselves or their followers to see that there is a God in heaven who is the maker and creator of heaven and earth and who sent Jesus. You see, this is what's happened. They who have the pride and arrogance, even in the realm of technology, whether it's singularity, whether it's enhanced longevity, whether it's the super soldier formula, whether it's live forever, download your subconscious into a new body, they believe they are gods. Some of the most famous transhumanists, basically a transhumanist is someone that believes that science will make a better body, a better mind, and build a better civilization than what God has done. So you see in Exodus, you see this hardening of Pharaoh's heart, but I'm saying this, and the headlines would not speak the truth. And the headlines would not speak the truth. And the headlines would not speak the truth. 9:34, Exodus. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and his servants. 9:35, and the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses. And we're getting to the best one of all, and this is, I'll jump right to it. And Moses and Aaron did these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his land. But then the next one, the last one in Exodus, says this, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. Even the last act of his defiance. Now let me make this clear. I do not know the last act of defiance that will take place, but I do know this, and I and remember, ladies and gentlemen, it was American Pharaoh that won the the horse race. Remember this, Obama became the entity, became president, the Middle East heralded him as Pharaoh. I hope you get the picture here. None of this is by chance. This is the Lord God of heaven declaring the end from the beginning, and this is where it gets incredible. Then in 1 Samuel 6:6, wherefore then do ye harden your hearts, as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts, when he had wrought wonderfully among them, did they not let the people go, and they departed? What I'm saying is, as much as total lies, David, you and I both know that the whole world lies in the evil one. The scripture is there. But for anyone to expect truth out of the media, or out of the mainstream news, or out of politicians? Where would that expectation come when they already denied the very person of truth? Truth is not a concept. It is not a philosophy. It is a person of Jesus Christ. Proverbs 8, Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. Jesus telling Mary and Martha at the tomb of Lazarus, or before they went to the tomb, but the bottom line is, I am the resurrection, not the process in the last days. So what we need to come to the grips with, and or come to grips with immediately, is this, is that for whatever reason that God is doing what he does, he has his secrets. He reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. The testimony of Jesus, of a man redeemed or a woman redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, who's confessed her sins before a holy God, that cries out, God forgive me, and says, God help me. I tell people the most powerful four-letter word I know is help, especially in your prayer life, but it's got to be said honestly. You know, we're at the point, ladies and gentlemen, where anything goes now. The reports, David, I remember you and I doing our first talk radio shows years ago, talking about the days that would come, the days that would come, the days that would come. We could show people events leading up to these days. We would tell them what kind of actions would be taking place. But I'll tell you this, the days of wine and roses are over. This is a day, a dark and gloomy day, and the Lord rebukes the people that can't say, well, I just can't wait for the hammer to fall. You don't understand what happens when the hammer falls. So every moment we have is another gift from the living God to seek him and to win others to Jesus. So if, in case people didn't hear me earlier, tuning in late, the United States government, the world bankers, the United Nothings, the United Nations, the global Satanists, and that's what they are. They want to destroy every Christian on the face of the earth. The man that told me that, it cost him his life, the red, the blue, the green list, the curative process, which you now see even going into effect by many, in other words, to drive out of business all doctors, all health care provision, and to take out anybody, that means kill anybody that's requiring medical assistance. Now, obviously, Doug, how many people can really embrace that 20 years ago, yet they're seeing it today? So let me share this, and I'll turn it right to you now, David. God is hardening the hearts of the world against the Christians, but don't lose track of Exodus 14:8. Israel went out with a high hand, and we'll go out with a hand of a high redeemer. Go ahead, David.
Amen. You know, 25 years ago, a quarter of a century ago, George Herbert Walker Bush pronounced the New World Order. It demonstrates the subtlety and the process like leaven. You don't see it. You don't really don't hear it at all. But it is working in the dough and doing what it was intended to do. 25 years ago, we heard that first phraseology, the New World Order. It's been reported Bush is going to vote for Hillary. John Kasich says he's a Christian. He's voting for Hillary. There's always been two factions in the world trying to lead. It always has been. It will always be like that till the end, till Christ returns. From Cain and Abel to the Sunnis, the Shiites, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Democrats, the Republicans, God and the devil, Christians and the world. It's either left or right. It's either on or off. And what we are witnessing, as Steve so well alluded to, due to the hardness of hearts, everybody is going, and that's what the Lord told me would happen in January when my wife and I were fasting, would either become a goat or a sheep. The middle ground is over with. Folks, there is no mistaking about it at all. There's a train going to hell, and there's a train going to heaven. And you're on one of the two trains. There is no middle track. There are no three tracks on a railroad track. There are two. And the train is going in one direction. and you want to be in the direction in which God is going. And God is trying to reveal truth, trying to make himself clear, trying to make himself vivid, but it's the devil that comes along and deceives. That was what he did to Eve in the garden. He deceived her, the serpent, Nahash in the Hebrew, shining one. He deceived her by his brightness, cunningness, and he made all these promises to her. Not only did she not get her promises, but she lost everything she had. When God cuts a man off, a man then falls into a state of delusion. You cannot listen to these people. You cannot watch these people and not believe in your heart that they are not delusional. Now, they don't see themselves as delusional, psychotic, psychosis, but if you have the Spirit of God, you witness that. And we know that because 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 11 to 12, Paul said, "For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness." God is presenting the truth, but the question is, are you seeing it? Are you willing to embrace it? Or are you willing to believe a lie? Because there's one or two objects, truth or a lie. You will embrace one of them. You will embrace one of them, and that will determine your destiny, your failure, or either your success. Matthew 6:24. I tell people it's cut and dry. They don't like it because I am that pointed and that clear cut. But if you don't love God, then you hate God. Now, some of you listening tonight may not be living the way you ought to live, but I can already sense in your heart, your mind, well, I know I don't love God like I should, but I surely don't hate God. Now, I just don't hate God, Pastor. You don't put those words in my mouth. I'm not. God is the one that said that. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one or love the other. Else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You see, we want to work both sides of the street. And we can't do that. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It may seem right in your eyes and in the natural. That's why I said earlier, you've got to look at this through the lens of God's Word and the Holy Spirit. Because if you don't, your vision will be skewed, your vision will be blurred. We all of those of you tonight that are washed in the blood, redeemed by His shed blood, you look at the world and you ask yourself every day, just like I do, how is it that people can be this far off? How can they be this misled? How can they be this greatly deceived? Steve just shared with you how. The hardness of their hearts. The blindness of their hearts. I look at them, you look at them, we listen to them, we watch them, and we're like, how in the world can it be this different? How in the world can they see it that way? It's because the God that they're serving. Joshua 24:15, choose you this day whom you shall serve, but for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're making choices right now. People are making choices right now. My hope is completely fixed in Jesus. I've quoted this verse thousands of times, Revelation 17:17, for God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will. The other day when Jonathan Carl, the ABC News reporter, said to Obama, Donald Trump finally admitted you were an American. And I watched as Obama gave him a pass. I've got more important things to talk about. I know where I was born. Instead of lambasting Donald Trump, he gave him a pass. Now, in the natural, you would think that would be a great opportunity to lambast Donald Trump and to exalt Hillary Clinton to no end. But you see, as I watched that, I thought, Lord, you shut up, you closed up his mouth. It's like it didn't even mean anything to him. I'm telling you, when people say things, when they act certain ways, there's a reason behind this. Steve and I, about 2 weeks ago, were having a telephone conversation, and we prayed together on the telephone. And when we hung up, a particular passage of Scripture came to my mind. Doug, what time is the bottom of the hour break?
26 after. We got about 5 minutes.
Okay. And something struck me profusely about the demoniac at the Gadarenes in Mark chapter 5, verse 13. And forthwith Jesus gave them, the demons, leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And that jumped out at me, choked in the sea. And I looked up the word choked in the Greek. It means to throttle someone back, or it means to take someone literally by the throat and throttle them down. And the last meaning was to drown. But I thought it was ironic that the phraseology here, and were choked in the sea. And it's like every so often we see this demon as it is manifest in Jezebel and has these coughing fits. Now, of course, she says it's allergies. Well, anybody, and I've had allergies before, especially this time of year with ragweed, runny eyes, itchy eyes, watery, runny nose, congestion. Do you see any of that? I just see hacking and coughing and something going on. Let me tell you something. Demons lie dormant. Demons lie subtle. God can stoke them. God can provoke them. They can be manifest. I know I've cast out demons puking, vomiting, spitting, pulling their hair, multiple voices. You watch what's going on. I sense untold demonic activity. I believe Jezebel has satanic protection. I do. I was teaching the other day, and I got a revelation how Satan can kill, steal, and destroy, but you've never witnessed anywhere he ever raised anybody from the dead, and it hit me when I said it. I understood why. Because Jesus said in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. You cannot, as Lucifer, imitate Jesus, because he is the resurrection. He's not a resurrection. He is the resurrection. That's why Satan has no power to raise people from the dead. He can kill them. The thief come not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. But he cannot raise. If he could do that, he would be unbelievably powerful. But he can't do that. But I believe we are witnessing demonic activity right now, and this is going to grow exponentially. We're witnessing right now in the state of Massachusetts how they're going to have these Satan clubs, satanic clubs in elementary schools. Why? They're trying to get children under demonic activity and power. This has always been Satan's desire, was to be worshipped, and he will get an element of that before Christ returns, because the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation tells us plainly that, and they worship the dragon which gave power unto the beast, or the Antichrist, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who's able to make war with him? So he's going to get a measure of what he's wanted from the beginning. He covets worship. He told Jesus, I'll give you all these kingdoms of the world if you will fall down and you will worship me. So this is coming. And this is why it's important to be discerning and to watch. Sometimes we need to do a whole lot more watching. Jesus said, watch and pray. He didn't say about talk. He said, watch and pray. And we should be watching and praying, talking to God, to keep our eyes abreast of what's taking place and how subtly is taking place in the earth. Doug, I'm going to give it back to you, sir.
All right. And Pastor, watching and praying does not preclude or exempt one from acting either. We have to be proactive, spread the word, and prepare ourselves.
Amen.
And help. Yeah, you know, it's amazing how we see the many of the Christian body just kind of taking a passive approach to things, preferring instead to just do nothing as opposed to, you know, really going out and occupying, I suppose is the correct phrase. Is that
That's Luke 19:13. Occupy till I come. That was the very words of Christ. We've got to occupy. We've got to work.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Wow, right on the money, folks. Pastor David Langford, and if you really want an education in the book of Revelation, Revelation 13 revealed by Pastor David Langford at thevoiceofevangelism.com. That book is always close by me. And that's thevoiceofevangelism.com. That's Pastor David Langford's site. His book, Revelation 13 Revealed. Great book. Steve Quayle as well, stevequayle.com. And folks, don't forget, he's got the True Legends series. Look that up. That's really a great overview, a great detailed overview of what we're seeing come to pass here in the present day. Folks, thank you so much for listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report. TheHagmanReport.com, that's our website, Hagman and Hagman for the show. Stay right where you're at, we'll be right back. Satan's waging war against the saints or the people of God, the followers of Jesus Christ. And, you know, this has been predicted, prophesized in the Bible. It appears in the book of Revelation. As we open the newspaper and watch the headlines and see the current events that taking a dark turn, folks, you know, we have to understand a war is being waged while the visible in the physical realm is deeply rooted in the spiritual answers and insight into events taking place across the world exists not just in the physical, however, but moreover in the spiritual. You know, Steve Quayle and Pastor Langford have been doing this a long time, and here we are at this time in our history, and events are coming to pass, and many people, they're not comprehending this because they're not rooted in the Word, or they're missing the signs or actually being deluded because they've hardened their hearts. And of course, spoken by Pastor Langford. Pastor Langford's website, thevoiceofevangelism.com. Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com. Steve, I'm going to bounce it over to you. Take it, brother.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to give you a real world, how should I say, intel briefing from this afternoon. Doug, you'll appreciate this. David, you know, always announcing their presence. I was talking to one of our historian, former museum curators, who's responsible for setting up different interviews around the country. And while I was talking to him on the phone, I'm talking about True Legends, a series, our DVD, all of a sudden, Doug, we got bounced off satellites. There was a certain word I mentioned, which I won't put out on the air because it just said, I mean, it wasn't a swear word or anything, but a certain place, the name of a place. And all of a sudden, he started getting echoes, I started getting echoes, and an echo happens when you're going from normally a land-based intercept to a satellite-based intercept. And because of the nature of True Legends, the series, the DVD, The Unholy Sea, we're taking it, we're stepping it up a level. So I'm really asking people to keep us covered in prayer, that we'll only go where the Lord wants us to go, that we'll only interview the people he wants us to interview. But this is a big deal, Doug. I mean, all I can say is this. If people are familiar with Pandora's box, it's God who's going to open the lid, that's a good one, or blow the lid off of some of the greatest cover-ups in history, and it's going to be done prior to the invasion of Earth. David's talking about demons. Well, I'm talking about stuff that basically will make people skin crawl, and I maintain, you know, I went to college for a film and television degree, got not one in still photography and motion picture production, but I had to watch endless hours or hundreds of hours of early movies, early TV programs, and I'm telling you, the subconscious and the psyche of the world is being prepared for the alien slash fallen angel lie that's getting ready to be hoisted upon us. So if those of you who are familiar with True Legends, the series, the DVDs, I mean, they're changing people's lives all over the world. We put it on Vimeo so people didn't have to wait, Doug and David, to get it, you know, down. They didn't have to wait for it to show up 4 weeks later or not show up at all. They can go and watch it on Vimeo. TrueLegendsTheSeries.com is a website. But every time, Doug, it's fascinating. Every time we get to a certain point, you'll appreciate this as an investigator, you can tell when you're on the right track because of the focused flack, okay? And I kind of laughed and I told my friend, I said, Michael, I said, you're hearing what I'm hearing. You know what that means. And before, and he would admit this, he was a little naive. Let's just say this, David. My friend, the former museum curator, had a moment of reality and reality check. So we're going into some really strange areas. I'll use that word, strange, but important areas. And again, you know, I pray for people that are listening to this program. My prayer for everyone listening to this program, seriously, no matter where they're at in the world, is that you'll always be at the right place at the right time, never the wrong place at the wrong time, and that God will make you invisible to all your enemies. So for those of you that want to get involved, TrueLegendsTheSeries.com is our website, or you can go to my website, SteveQuayle.com, and I'm telling you, Doug, it's so amazing. I was just listening to you reading off the different countries where people are listening in. I don't know how somebody, sometimes they get these DVDs sent to them by people. There are DVDs floating around in places that I honestly don't think there are any highways, roads, or anything to, especially some of the places in the Australian outback or in South America. Or even I had an email from a brother in Poland thanking those of you who read my website for praying, because the Poles know there's going to be a world war. But here's what I want to share with you. You know, in order to destroy the foundation of this country, the first thing that had to go was the first thing that God created and put into effect in the Garden of Eden. That was Adam and Eve. Yes, they sinned. Yes, he would provide a redeemer, but still, the American family is disintegrating. Unfortunately, I think those who want to determine, and I will use a very tasteful language here, they want to change every form of human being into another definition as far away from human beings as possible. On the front of Drudge, three parents now being able, or three different seed lines. By the way, that's a xenogenetic line, xenogenesis, adding a third set of DNA. And while everybody's clapping, oh, great, this means that, you know, homosexuals can have children and lesbians can have children, they don't get it. What this whole thing is designed to do is to allow the third strain, if you will, the Andromeda strain, or more correctly, the Pleiadian strain of alien, meaning not illegal aliens, but aliens, demonic and fallen angels, to once again insert themselves into the human race. So, ladies and gentlemen, when you support us with True Legends, buying the DVDs, give them out. I've actually had people buy 100 at a time to give out. And interestingly, Doug, you know, a lot of the, I would call, traditional Catholics are starting to see now the war that I've spoken about for 20 years coming into their, if you will, fellowships worldwide. And again, I'm trying to tell people ahead of time, but I want to get back on track. So, ladies and gentlemen, please be praying for us. And what's interesting is we will be starting in the, I think, what, 2 weeks from now, and we start on the day that literally means numerically preservation in the midst of judgment. I didn't plan it. That's the way it came out. And I finally, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning or something, it dawned on me, wow, up until that day, nothing was open. Up until that day, no one could meet with us. After that date, everything was open. Everything opened up, and it was on the number of the day where preservation in the midst of judgment. Now, what David and I have been talking about tonight is critical. And I want to share something with you because you're seeing it in the head headlines. You're watching it in the people that are fraudulent. By the way, is it anybody's guess now if Huma Abedin's father was a radical Muslim who was talking about Sharia law? Is it any wonder that Hillary and she have such an unusual relationship? Is it any wonder that no one will link the word terrorism with Islamic? Is it any wonder that we have literally hundreds of thousands of Muslims coming into this country, and yet the rate of Christians allowed to come into this country is, what, 0.02% or something? So I want to take everybody to Isaiah 66. When David and I were on Jim Baker's, David, was it 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whatever it was, the thing that God had spoken in my heart about, ladies and gentlemen, is Isaiah and the year that King Uzziah, some people pronounce it Uzziah, but Uzziah died, he saw the Lord, and the Lord was high and lifted up, and his train, his presence filled the temple, and the angels cried, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." And the thing is that what's important in this thing is understanding this, and boy, Jesus, help me get this through. God blessed us all with a wonderful country. He gave us all such an amazing opportunity to stand for righteousness. He gave us a wonderful opportunity to be the hallmark of what a family should be, of to be grateful. And our country started out with gratefulness, and believe me, whether the atheists, the agnostics, the Satanists, the Luciferians, the Illuminati, they can do everything they do to try and slam the Puritans and the Pilgrims, but they knew how to make a covenant with God. Now I want to give you Isaiah 66, 1 through 6. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. That just simply means to the unprideful. He that killeth an ox as if he slew a man. He that sacrifices a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offers an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burns incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their souls delighteth in the abominations, and in their, abominations. You ever heard about the Bohemian Grove? You ever heard about where America's lead financiers, industrialists, bankers, and politicians go? I won't go into the gross details of what they sit in, but let me just say this. It's definitely stacked higher in transit. I will also choose their delusions. Now listen to this. I, God speaking, will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes, and they chose that in which I delighted not. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified. But he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. I said there were two wars coming, and the two wars are within the household of faith, meaning Christians, denominations. What is a biblical Christian versus a historic Christian? What's the difference between they who call themselves Christians versus they who live it? What's the difference between those that think going to church is like a mouse going into a cookie jar and billing itself out as a chocolate chip or a ginger snap? A voice of noise from the city, the sixth verse, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that renders recompense to his enemies. That's Isaiah 66:6. That's God's answer to the devil's 666. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. I put on my photo of the day the other day. I don't know if you saw it, Doug. It was a beautiful sunset with the rays coming up out of the top of the clouds. Yeah. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. I want everybody worldwide, I want you to pray as you pray, but let incorporate that in. Agree. Symphonize in prayer. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Because then the scripture goes on to say, doesn't it, David? Then God arose and his enemies were scattered. Go ahead.
Amen. That's the key. God is going to arise. That is what is great in the midst of all of this adversity, is that God is going to arise. I want to go back to Isaiah 45, where we began originally tonight. Verse 1, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus. Cyrus was not a righteous king. He was not an anointed king in the sense of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. He was a chosen king, whose right hand have I holden, or whose right hand I have strengthened to subdue nations before him. I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two leavened gates, and the gates shall not be shut. These are the sluice gates, as the river Euphrates run through the center of Babylon. God gave him this power, and for a better lack of terms, he didn't even have to fire a shot to take over Babylon. They came in underneath. They diverted the water. The sluice gates were open. The water went down. They came in, came up under the gate, and came up in the middle of Babylon. Just that easily. God allowed that to happen, and they took over. I will go before thee and make the crooked path straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. When I was reading that some time ago, what would it happen in this nation if a just man got in the White House and could see all of the ungodly, lying, cheating, conniving, thieving stuff that took place? Would God put a righteous man in there? In the sense of righteous, I don't mean redeemed. I mean doing the right thing, and God would give the treasures of darkness. You see, I firmly believe the reason Obama wants Jezebel in the White House is to help keep all the stuff covered up. Because if any of us godly people were to have the opportunity to go in and see all of the things that are going on, we would be shocked beyond anything we've ever seen or witnessed. We could not fathom the corruptness, the plunder, the pillage, the debasedness, the debauchery that is in our leadership. And God says, I will give thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places. Why does God say, I'm going to do this to Cyrus? That you will know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name. He called his name between 150 and 200 years before he was born. He called his name. Now, I think there were five or six times God called men by their name hundreds of years before they were born. Because God knows the end from the beginning. And he says, you'll know that I'm the God of Israel. For Jacob, or Israel, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect, I have called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. God named the man. He gave him his name before the man was ever born. It's like Jeremiah 1 and 5. He said, before I formed you in your mother's belly, I knew you. Nobody but God can reach that far into the future and decree a thing, and it come to pass just like God said it would come to pass. The truth is, there was no living person that heard this prophecy alive when it came to fruition. But the record of Ezra, Nehemiah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, the records were there to authenticate, to validate that what God had said was coming to pass. And then he says in verse 5, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. God makes it clear. I'm not Donald Trump's judge. I don't know if he's a Christian or not a Christian. That's not my place. But the point is, God says to Cyrus, I girded thee. In other words, I am the one that strengthened your loins, gave you this power, gave you this authority. You don't even know me. You don't even know me as Lord, Savior, Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. You have no clue who I am. That's the power and majesty of God, to be able to do a thing in this way. That they... Now you see God starts talking to the world, that they may know. This is the entirety of the world. That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, there is none beside me. I am the Lord and there is none else. I form the light, create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. It is God who created the light, Genesis 1, created the darkness and separated the light from the darkness, called the light day, the darkness he called night. He makes peace, and he creates evil. Now, most people have not really fully understood that phrase, create evil. Why would God create evil? God did not create evil in the sense that we term it. Evil is the results of sin. It's like being an alcoholic, and then you get cirrhosis of the liver, and you say, God did this to me. No, the sin brought about the evil in your body. The tree in the garden was called the tree of good and of evil, not the tree of good and of sin. The point was, if you live godly, you live righteously, Adam and Eve, all you will ever know is my goodness. You sin against me, all you will ever then know is evil. Pain, toil, suffering, multiplied her labor, her conception. Adam would now till the soil by the sweat of his brow, etc., etc. So the evil is the result of the wickedness. When we see the pain, the suffering, the emaciated bodies in certain countries, we see AIDS, HIV, all of these things. This is the evil. This is the evil. So there are 68 verses in Deuteronomy chapter 28. 14 verses address blessings. 54 verses address curses, which is almost a 4-to-1 ratio. The point is, if people will just live right, and I must admit, it's not really hard to live right once you make up your mind. It's hard to live right when you're not committed. It's hard to live right when you're straddling the fence. Get off the fence, get on one side or the other, and you won't get hurt physically, especially if you're a man. That makes sense to some of you. It's just that simple. And so it is in this world. If we live right, God has just promised to bless us. But if we live wrong, he gives 54 verses of evil that would come upon a nation that spurns him, rejects him, and castigates him. And we wonder why that our nation is in the shape it's in. And they're telling us, the United Nations, Jezebel, they want the guns. They want to take this. They want to put Supreme Court justices on there that will agree that only a government foreign militia has the right to bear arms. History repeats itself, folks. And I don't know how long God will tarry. Only God knows the appointed time when the Father will send the Son back to the earth. But Donald Trump has said he would appoint Supreme Court justices that would overturn Roe versus Wade. The point is, how many generations is this next election, how many generations will be affected by it? And Proverbs 29:2 said, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And as I said earlier, as we sit here and we watch this nation, we are totally mesmerized and how we see things so differently. I mean, here's what's impressing my heart right now. And someone emailed me today and wanted me to mention this. I see the pendulum beginning to swing with our young people back toward conservatism. I see a faction of young people who are determined to live right, to keep their virginity, to keep their chastity, to tell the truth, and stay away from evil. Then I see another faction that's, let's raise hell and let's party. Forget it. Because God is going to have a church. God's going to have a people. But I, as a minister, I've got four children. My youngest one lives with me here at the house and works for me. But I watch the guys he brings over. They're all in their late teens and early 20s. And I listen to them talk, and they're fed up with the liberalism. See, that gives me hope. Because the people of God that pray and fast and stand on the Word of God and sow the good seed, you're going to reap a good harvest. You reap what you sow. That's why the Bible said in Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to his spirit shall of the spirit reap life everlasting. This nation is going to reap all this carnage that we have sown. But those who have sown to the Spirit are going to reap life everlasting. And we're going to see a move of God, I believe, in our young people, because I'm witnessing a faction of young people. I know Madonna and Katy Perry posed nude for Hillary. But then I see those who will stand for what's right. So we're witnessing it's a spiritual thing, folks. It's more spiritual than it is physical. Because when you die, you don't cease to exist. I thought about Jezebel, you know, the propensity. She has Parkinson's disease. If she has Parkinson's disease, and if she does not repent and get right with God, she will have Parkinson's disease for all eternity. God showed me that will be one of the torments in people's lives, because they don't get a new body. They keep the same old diseased body. Now, they won't have a physical body, but they have a spiritual body. But the rich man in Luke 16 had all of his five senses. Smell, touch, taste, feel, see. All of it. It was there. He had every bit of his faculties. He was tormented in those flames. And I believe God showed me about 8 or 9 years ago that if you die with Parkinson's disease, you will have Parkinson's disease aberrations, anomalies in your spirit. You never get away from it. In other words, if there's a shaking there, you'll be like that for eternity. Because you don't get a new body. The redeemed, Paul said, this mortal will put on immortality. This corruptible will put on incorruption.
Amen. Amen.
And that's the greatness of saying, hey, I'm going to fight the good fight of faith.
Amen. Pastor Langford and Steve Quayle coming to you live tonight. The line between good and evil becoming even deeper. Folks, we're going to be right back. Stay right where you're at.